I just want to talk about something that's really in vogue with modern offensive basketball.
Get deep.
And that's just some concepts and principles of the
deep
penetration,
deep
dribble penetration game.
Well, all series long, we've been able to penetrate their bigs.
But there's also a topic within a topic.
Get deep. Suck the D in, and then we penetrate their bigs. Get deep.
That's the ostensible reason for doing the clinic.
All right, here we are for deep penetration. The first episode of 2020. I don't know if we did a 2019-2020 episode.
I think you and I tried to, and then
I don't think I ever posted.
Oh no, I think
we 2 years ago for us. Was that when we did a preseason one? Mm-hmm. Or post draft one or something?
You guys did a post draft one a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And then Forrest, I think you and I sat down last year at your house.
Yep.
But I think we didn't record it. Like we did it, but then we.
Oh, that's right. Yes, we did a recording, but it did. I had pressed like record twice on the recording machine. Oh, speaking of which, my microphone is like halfway across the room.
Yeah, you're going to sound a lot better than us.
All right. The plan for the podcast is we're going to go through the off season for all the teams. We each have four teams, and we're going to be talking about them in terms of who got better, who stayed the same, and who got worse. Jeff suggested maybe trying to remember or think of something a little bit more clever, but I couldn't get there quickly. I was busy coming up with a new theme song. So
that's the list you sent me in the text message. I was like, okay, this will be thorough. This will be detailed. And yeah. I was like, oh no, is this like homework? It is. And then I was sitting today and yesterday, and I was organizing. My heart's racing. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually stayed up a little bit last night and took some notes on the spreadsheet that I shared with you guys. And then, but yeah, going through your questions, like I was like, oh man, I don't know.
I didn't do a whole lot of homework either. So, we'll all be on the same page, I think. But
did do a lot of homework.
Yeah. Good, because you can carry me then. All right. So I thought we'd go around. I'm not sure like what whether we want to do the best teams or the middling teams or the teams that got worse, teams that got better, teams that got worse, or the middling teams. Which order we want to do them in, but I thought we'd go like each of us talk about one team and kind of round robin it.
Okay.
At a time. So maybe, what do you, I've got two teams getting better, one team staying about the same and one team worse. Should we go with the same? Do you guys have a whole lot of teams staying the same?
I feel like I kind of broke up my rule.
Okay.
When I started looking at it, it was almost it was like this idea of some teams got better in the short term, but in long term, not so much. And so I started to look at like what I like and what I didn't like about their off season. So yeah. I didn't really, I know I suggested to us.
Okay.
Let's do anyway. So I don't really have like, yeah, I don't really have like a.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do. Let's just go one team at a time then.
Okay.
And Brett, you joined the league the most recently, so why don't you start us off with a team?
Well, I mean, you gave me four teams to kind of dig into, and some of them I ended up talking about a lot more just because of kind of the dynamics of the team. The Blind Pigs. That was probably the first thing I was kind of looking at. The most expensive. I think they're the most expensive team in the league. They're the highest over the luxury tax right now.
Wow.
But yeah, they're kind of battling that do they stick with aging talent? What's the trade value on some of those guys, the Jimmy Butler, the Andre Drummonds? What is this team's kind of long-term shape? Because they have young guys. They have Zinger. They've got, they got DeJounte Murray, so it's not super, but they don't have a lot of young guys that can really, like, you know, kind of do that easy transition from aging superstar, bringing the new guy. Where are the points coming from in the middle area? They have they've got a lot of potential guys, but also not any like high ceiling guys. If you're kind of looking at their roster, yep. Enes Kanter, which they offered to trade, they tried to trade me yesterday. Enes Kanter, I politely declined. But Jimmy Butler and Andre Drummond are big stat guys. So, well, they tried to trade for a pick, and I was like, I'm not trading any picks. I'm too young in this league right now to be giving away any picks. Yeah. But even guys like Trez Harrell, I mean, they're not great fantasy guys necessarily in terms of like guys like Marcus Smart and Montrezl Harrell, and Bertans. Like those guys aren't really creating a lot of fantasy noise. They're great to have on your team in real life, but in terms of how they actually transit, and that's kind of like one of the ways I'm looking at some of these teams is like, yeah, this would be make for like a great actual team, but how well does it kind of pan out in the shape of the fantasy league? Yeah. They also had a big trade when they when I was looking at the trade for John when they traded John Collins to the Meat Stormers for Rodney Hood and two picks, a first and a second future pick. I don't know how I feel about this trade necessarily because Rodney, I also didn't look at the contract of Rodney Hood. He could have had a big contract that may have been re-signed recently. So,
and
two picks for John Collins, who is being pushed around on an Atlanta team that has a lot more options to go to now.
Yeah, and it's funny because so when I looked at that trade, you know, obviously I've got up and close and personal with John Collins. And he's a guy that does two things. He scores and rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it. And then seeing Gallinari come in, seeing the draft picks, you're wondering, you know, where's his minutes going to be at? Is he going to get the shots that he's gotten in the past? I feel like he's kind of ceilinged out. And that's where – you know, you're talking about on this roster, there's kind of these aging guys and these young. And so I've never drafted high. And so my I think my highest draft pick was number four. And that was like 8 years ago. And so so for me, like I think Josh improved his team, the Meat Stormers, but I'm hoping that he will flounder enough where that will be a high draft pick next year to try to get one of those superstars. Cause I mean, my biggest superstar I think is Butler. And Drummond obviously puts up numbers.
And he could put up more this year in Cleveland now that he has actual, like a couple of those young guys are even showing like Kevin Porter Jr. Like those guys are showing that they can hoop. So maybe that opens up a little bit more for him, gives him some of those old Detroit numbers.
Yeah, well, and especially Tristan Thompson moving on. When I look at my roster, I don't have a lot of, like, all-stars, like guys that will, you know, get those points for you that don't show up in the weekly stats or in the, you know, the point cumulative point stuff. And so that's where I'm like, I need to strike big with a lottery pick if I can. Yeah. And so I kind of felt like John Collins kind of topped. I actually waived Rodney Hood as soon as I got him.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So anyways, that's kind of where I was coming out at that pick. I think Collins is good, but I feel like he might have reached his ceiling. And now he's going to be one of those just kind of – and I don't know where he fits in. They didn't extend him. There's a lot of rumors they're going to trade him. So that's where I came with that
pick. I think that made – you're trading John Collins made a lot of sense. It's crazy to me how quickly the narrative around him changed. Like, I felt like last year coming into the season, it was like – John Collins and Trae Young are untouchable, and this is the start to the core, and like this is the future Hawks. And then that last season happened, and like he's kind of an afterthought on the team now.
But he could blossom. He could be one of those guys that's like, you know, a slasher type of guy, a guy that can finish at the rim, a guy that can rebound and go. Yeah. Like he had a lot of responsibility on his shoulders last year. I mean, Trae Young, he actually, we'll talk about Trae Young later, but the amount of responsibility that young guys have on that Atlanta Hawks team, as opposed to where they are now, they're a whole different team now with all different parts that they can throw onto the court. And it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of, how the chips kind of fall for a guy like him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it may have been a mutual thing for the team to be like, hey, we're not going to, we're going to see how it plays out this year with this team. Like, you're a valuable piece. Mm-hmm. And he could be like, yeah, I'm more valuable than you think now that I'm on a better team.
Yeah.
And you'll see that, like, cause he can D up, he can rebound. He's not like, and he doesn't get pushed around. PEDs aside, but I think in my opinion, the Meat Stormers might have won this trade.
Yeah. And here's another thing I looked at it. I picked him 18th overall.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, looking at that trade, and obviously that's, I don't know, looking at investment, I'm like, I'm trading a second round pick for a first, for a second. And so again, I almost like an investment, like rate on return type of thing. But yeah, I mean, it's going to hurt to see his points and rebounds go. And you're right, Brett. I feel like he might blossom on a team that's even better. You know, mm-hmm. I think I'm banking on the, like, he was a good young player on a team where he had a lot of shots. And
yeah.
I'm banking on the fact that, like, you might not have those many shots anymore with, you know, Bogdanovich coming in and even the rise of DeAndre Hunter. I think he's going to have a better year. And So it's kind of a crowded front court there. It's going to be interesting how Pierce plays all those minutes and all those guys after so many of those young guys had free reign, you know, even like the Cam Reddish stuff, like what's going to come of him. And
One of the things Brett was kind of bringing it up, and I know I've noticed it with a few teams that I'm looking at too, with these guys that are, you know, good guys on a team, on your team, that used to actually have value in our league. You know, guys that saw minutes, guys that actually, you know, had some cumulative stats at the end of the year, just having something was being a starter meant something significant for a while. Yeah. And it's starting to not mean as much.
And that's something that you'll hear a lot about probably from me is the parity shift. And when does that occur? When does that tilt start happening? When do those long-term teams start? When does having long-term guys that are long-term like superstars, when does that balance out when the other superstars, the Ja Morants of the world, start actually taking form?
Jeff, you want to go next?
Yeah, so I'll just kind of go down my list here. So the first one that popped up was the Meat Stormers.
Mm.
And, man, Josh was busy this offseason.
I tried to split it up so we all had one of these people that, like, overhauled their entire roster.
Yeah. And he made – let's see here. He made 5 trades and brought in 8 new players, including the, you know, the John Collins we're just talking about. He brought in Paul George, Zubac, Randall, Wiggins, Tim Hardaway Jr. And so what I like about it was, you know, Josh is not one to, like, sit around and idle, because I didn't think his roster, the forecast of his roster, I didn't like going forward prior to these moves. So he was definitely active. You know, he picked up some second and third round picks. So I like the fact that he brought in Paul George. He brought in John Collins. He brought in a 2022 first, a pick swap with Flint Tropics, which I like, because you never know what's going to happen with Tyler. He makes so many trades. You know, I don't feel like, you know, where he's going to be. But, you know, if that's going to be the, like, bonus draft, you know, we still don't know yet if that's going to be the draft that – you're going to have essentially 2 draft classes in, and he picked up or he picked up a second in that one. So he either gets to pick swap or second. What I don't like is taking on the Randall and Wiggins contracts, because Randall's putting up good numbers now in New York, but kind of the narrative coming out of New York is their fan base is tired of, like, he's our guy. Like, he shouldn't be our guy.
Yeah.
So he's one of those guys I feel like could fall off the face of the earth a little bit here if New York moves him.
Yeah.
And then Wiggins, I don't know. He's just, I mean, anybody that's watched any games of Wiggins, you know, he'll like make you just be like, oh my gosh, this guy can get to the hole so easily. And he's got a pretty sweet jump shot. And then you won't see him for three quarters. So I feel like he'll have like 30 one night and then he'll have seven the next. I'm not sure. New York is definitely not a playoff team. And then I'm not sure Golden State is. They could be. I mean, Curry's been looking pretty good in the preseason, and they're playing with good energy. And obviously you have a Hall of Fame coach and Kerr. So I don't love the fact that he took on those contracts, because those are some big contracts. And I think both of them have two more years and a player option or team option. So they're not terrible. You know, I don't know. It might work out for him. Obviously, Klay Thompson's hurt, so in the short term, I think it plays out well. I don't like the fact that he got rid of a 21 first. Obviously, that came over to me in the John Collins trade. I felt like that was a win for me in that trade. So I think, again, short term with John Collins, I think he'll have a decent year. Long term, not sure. And then the trade he made with Tyler, so he got Tim Hardaway for DeAndre Hunter. And Tim Hardaway is looking good. I think he's, you know, when you get to play with Luka, I think obviously you're going to get good shots. And so I think he'll give him good points this year, but I think he's going to look back on that trade and be like, why did I let Hunter go? Because I do think Hunter's got something to him where he'll put up some really good numbers for a lot of years. And I think Hardaway Jr. is still young, but obviously, I don't know. I just like the upside of Hunter better. So I think he had a great summer. I think his team's better. I don't love the Obi pick, draft pick. He picked Obi Toppin at number six. I like Obi watching the draft when he got all teary-eyed, and I'm sitting here at home like teary-eyed. But I don't know. Again, I feel like he's a guy that's going to put up points and rebounds, and I'm not sure that's enough. He did have four assists last night, but I don't know. And then the Zubac for Robert Williams. Again, Zubac is a points and rebounds guy, but he doesn't give you much of the defensive component. And Robert Williams, even last night, he played like 14 minutes, and then he had like three blocks and two steals. And so he's a little bit like Mitchell Robinson, where, you know, he's kind of undisciplined, but he'll put up some good stats for you. And I think, well, obviously LA is going to be a playoff team, but I think Boston will be too. So anyways, there's kind of a lot of stuff I like, a lot of stuff I don't like. So he's kind of one of those teams that he got better. I think he's better in the short term. I'm worried about the long term with him. But that's kind of my take on the Meat Stormers.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I sent him George, and I think, and maybe we'll talk about this a little bit later, but for me, I felt like George was costing me Yahoo points with his sitting.
Oh yeah,
last year.
Yeah.
So that's one that I'm curious to see how that plays out for him. I could see it. I think it was for him. It was probably a good move because it's a big swing, and I think his team needed it, and so did my team really. But I think. I'm curious to see how it works out, who it works out better for, who wins that trade down the line. I think on the face of it, he definitely did.
Yeah. And when we talk about biggest trade, it'll come up. So don't worry about it.
All right.
We'll dive deep into that trade.
All right.
I do know the fact that he was hoping to get a Kongwu at six.
Yep.
And on the draft night, he was mad when you took a Kongwu at five. And I know that was a pick swap in the trade. Guys traded five and six in the draft. So I think he was hoping to get a Kongwu at six.
Yeah.
And then he sat with Obi. So, and you're 100% right. Like, Paul George is going to get the All-Star vote, right? He's going to get the points for the All-Star game.
Will he?
I think if the Clippers are in the top two, he will.
Yeah. Okay.
But
Kongwu actually has the coaching chops this year without LeBron, and it can pan out in the ways that they're expecting him to.
Yeah.
It'll and be, I, and I yep. think you're right. Like with CJ's going to play probably more minutes and games. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to get that trade-off between the all-star potential, because TJ is just not going to make the all-star team unless Portland's like in first place.
Yep.
But you're getting those daily points where Paul George maybe does the load management thing.
Yeah. I think I'll save it for when we talk about the trade later. Let's see. I'm trying to think if I have any take on Meat Stormers other than that. I think his team is moving in a direction, and I like that I don't know. His team is interesting. I like see some stuff that I'm like, oh, that kind of makes sense. Or that's Trae Young is there. Sabonis I like.
It from like afar, it looks like a good fantasy team in terms of Yahoo fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of he's got stat stuffers. He's got, Trae Young. He's got guys like Julius Randle. We don't know what Andrew Wiggins is going to look like next to Steph Curry. That could open up a lot of like space for him. And then, guys like John Collins, like you don't know what he's going to do. It's a whole new dynamic for him this year. Both him and Wiggins have like a whole new team.
And Bryn Forbes too.
Julius Randle is going to be like, those minutes are going to be tight.
Well, I really, like I said, I don't like the Obi Toppin pick because I feel like he could have gone with Killian Hayes. I feel like he could have gone with,
Yeah, if he would have picked Killian Hayes, that would have been a very smart, intelligent, wise.
But, I feel like there's other guys there. I know I picked Halliburton, so I'm a Halliburton fan. But, even Devy's looking good in Washington. But I really like he picked Cole Anthony at 17, Isaiah Stewart at 29. I mean, the Pistons picked him at 16. So I feel like he'll get some run. And then even Precious Achiuwa at 19, I mean, last night he had 15 guys. And 15, and so I really like what he did lower in the draft.
Yeah. And does he have roster spots for those guys? I think he does, right?
He actually signed, I didn't love this. He signed Cody Zeller to a minimum contract. I felt like there's other free agents still out there today that he could have signed instead, but he went with Cody Zeller, and then he put Cole Anthony on his 15 man roster, which is probably good. Cole Anthony will probably get,
he looked good.
He's going to get an opportunity. He's going to put up shots.
And I think there's a lot of people who are, already kind of over, Fultz. So, kind of waiting to see somebody else kind of take the reins there in the point guard.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take the next one. The first guy that I've got here is, our reigning champion, the 7 minutes. And this was a cause for celebration. I think his team is worse. The depressing part is
you're still really good.
Still super good.
He didn't lose anybody that he had he didn't lose anybody that he had in his starting five last year.
Yeah.
Which was insane to me that Pascal Siakam wasn't starting for him. I think he was starting, as far as I understood it, who was he starting last year at?
He started like Covington and Turner because he was trying to get the defensive stuff.
Yeah, and Turner did get him a blocks, points for blocks one. So yeah, that was an interesting way to, I think that was an interesting way to approach this. The stats was something that I picked up while doing this was like, because I feel like I'm always trying to think about the cumulative for the team. How am I going to maximize the strengths of my players to win certain categories? Yeah. And I don't think I would have, and I maybe it's just that I'm not following Turner very closely, but I'd kind of forgotten about him, and I was surprised to see that he had carried an entire category.
Well, yeah, because offensively he's like never around the hoop, but defensively he does. He blocks shots, and I think he won the second half block shots numbers. So yeah, I mean, yeah. I brought in 5 points from there.
Yeah, exactly. So that was surprising that Siakam didn't cost him a starter. But he's worse. He lost Siakam, Brogdon, and Harris. Harris is a potential all-star. Siakam's definitely an all-star. So those are points he's losing. Brogdon's one of those guys who's going to be, especially in the assists category, he's helping out there quite a bit. And then with Gordon getting hurt, which it's a hand injury, right?
Yeah. When I first saw it, I thought it was a foot injury.
Me too.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Shoot, he's going to be out. But yeah, it sounds like he might be back week one. So.
Oh, wow. So I guess I don't know what that'll look like for the Gordon Hayward injury, but you know that he's already getting hurt feels like an ominous sign. Bringing in Bledsoe is better than Brogdon. He's not going to be an all-star though, playing in the West. Mm-hmm. And he's one of those guys too, that like, I'm not sure what his place is on the Pelicans, you know, like, is he there to be the point guard for the foreseeable future? Are they invested in him, or is he? I've heard some other podcasts kind of speculating that he's sort of they expect him to be on another team by the end of the year or something. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a gamble with Bledsoe. The 7 minutes probably still have the best starting five in the league, was my note. As far as I, like, if I was selecting the starters, mine would be Giannis, Murray, Luka, Jokic, and Turner, which is pretty insane. That's definitely three all-stars, I'd say. Murray's on a fringe. Turner won't be an all-star, but might carry blocks again.
But again, he's got the three best young players, or at least like that, not super, super young, but like the Luka, the Jokic, the Antetokounmpo, like those three guys are three of the best starting five for anyone who's not about to retire and for anyone who didn't just come into the league.
Yep.
So, you know, he can get rid of a guy like Siakam, who's kind of close to that range. I mean, he's an all-star, but he's not like – he's still like, what is his ceiling? What is his situation? Yeah. What is, like – what are the Raptors doing going forward? Can he shoulder the load and carry you in a stats category? Jokic is getting stats all over the place.
Yeah.
Giannis is Giannis. He's an MVP candidate. And then Luka's an MVP. All three of those guys are MVP candidates right now. Yeah. So
the interesting thing with him is he's currently in the luxury tax. And next year he'll be in it more. Mm-hmm. And then the following year he'll have to pay Luka. So he's paying – I mean, he's got Miles Turner locked up for 5 years. He's got Jamal Murray locked up for three. Jokic locked up for another three. Hayward locked for another 2+1. You know, so he's got all these huge contracts. Like, he gave Miles Turner a 14, 13, 12, 11. I mean, that's a lot of money where I feel like he could have got him cheaper. So it'll be interesting how he manages that luxury tax, you know, in our league, where he's going to lose points, right? And then will he get the repeater or will he try to get out of it? So we'll see.
When he's still got – and we even talked the fact that he's got Jamal Murray, who this postseason basically showed that, hey – I'm an all-star candidate. Like, the guy gets points efficiently, not like huge assist numbers or anything, but like point guard assist numbers still. And it's going to – could be anywhere from 23 to 27 points a game.
Yeah. Well, and then if Denver's – well, the two games they play against Portland look like they couldn't be stopped. But, you know, again, if Denver's in top two, he's going to be an all-star, Jamal Murray. Mm-hmm. And so that's – he's going to have two all-stars there. That's the points that he gets, is those all-stars and then the first team, second team, third team.
Yeah.
His non-Yahoo points are huge. And so he's still going to have those even without Pascal and Brogdon. Where he might lose points is the Yahoo competition, where, you know, he's been on top of the leaderboard, the last couple of years. And then this year, maybe that there's a little more parity there.
Yeah, that's something I was looking at, is he is thinner bench-wise, especially if he does incur any injuries, COVID, any of that stuff.
Yeah.
He's, you know, right now on his roster, he's got 12 guys. And outside of those, the starting five, it's Bledsoe, Marcus Morris, Covington, Schroeder, Murray.
Yeah.
And Kara Lewis and Kyrie Thomas. Like, I think there are better benches out in the league than what he's got for sure. So I think he's worse. I think he's still probably. Oh, the other thing that I was going to say was that Siakam did. He got two player of the weeks. And then second team all NBA and an all-star. So those are some, that's quite a few points that weren't, that he didn't replace. Mm-hmm. Bledsoe's not replacing those points. So he's coming down. It's just, he was so high up, you know, I don't remember how many points he won by, but I'm not sure we.
It was a lot.
Right, close to lapping the field.
Yeah, it was close. Yeah. So it's good news, but it's, you know, with a caveat.
Yeah.
All right, Brett, you want to take the next? All
right. Yeah, my next one was LeBron's fadeaway hairline. A lot of interesting dynamics for this team in terms of, like, guys that could pop off and be a complete point getter. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is probably the biggest one in terms of the Chris Paul leaving and what that looks like. You know, what is this Thunder team now? Obviously, they're in rebuild, so he's not going to get any playoff points or anything like that. But in terms of, like, an accumulation of points, that's a lot to have. So he's kind of a big one. Obviously, Ben Simmons is still, like, a big deal. I the first thing I had written down was the tragedy of DeMarcus Cousins, and just like what is DeMarcus Cousins doing on a team anymore? What is his outlook? He's a total wild card in terms of how this league, he could be the best player in the league point wise, but he could also be a complete zero. So, you know, on a team that got rid of Clint Capella, doesn't have a lot of center depth, got rid of Rocco, you don't even know what James Harden's doing. What is this? Like, if James Harden's gone and this is DeMarcus Cousins' team all of a sudden,
him and Walt,
that's a, like, this team becomes a problem in some ways, not for completely. Fantasy. I mean, he still has Rudy Gobert, which is a huge, huge, huge plus in this league for sure.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal, we don't know what the Washington situation, but it looks like, I mean, I was listening to a podcast the other day talking about how Bradley Beal, like, wasn't the player he could have been because of the responsibility put on his shoulders. He's not like a leader. So when he can just hoop, he is an all-stars caliber player in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you look at the numbers of guys that play next to Westbrook, he actually puts up, like, he elevates his teammates.
Yeah.
As much as he bemoaned for his non-analytic numbers and, you know, all that stuff. But, like, you look at the numbers, I feel like playing with Westbrook is actually going to be really good for Bill.
But again, he's got a couple other guys on here that are like, yeah, great to have on your team. What are they actually bringing to the table? The Steven Adams. TJ Warren's a big question mark. He looked great in the bubble. What is he actually going to contribute long term? Terrence Ross, we know what he is. Lonzo Ball, trying to figure out the Pelicans point guard situation. Who's he going to go to? And even guys like Jonathan Isaac, Landry Shamet, and even Denny, like, what are those guys are all kind of like, it's too soon to tell what these guys kind of are long term. It's a young team that we don't know if they're going to, like, pan out in a lot of ways. And even in terms of, like, what they did this off season, like, they didn't do it. Was they got a couple drafts, they got Steven Adams, they got Ben Simmons, which was a big deal and puts them in a nice situation. But even though, like, it's still Ben Simmons. He's a defensive mastermind, but what in terms of in percentages and stuff is he actually bringing to the table?
Yeah. And really for them, that was a match, right? So
yeah.
Retained him.
Sorry, but, yeah, retained.
No, no, you're right. I read that as like they got him for a while too. This is probably a stayed the same sort of if we're doing the got better, got worse.
No, this yeah, is, totally felt like it was a stay the same. Yeah. I feel like how he approached the off season was let's not break it.
Yeah. See what it is still.
Yeah.
And I have a kind of label the quote I had for him was like, this is a team of second fiddles. It's like none of these guys are, you know, the Arrowhead. Bradley Beal, not going to be the point of attack on the Wizards. Terrence Ross, he'll be the second scorer on that team. Rudy Gobert, you have Donovan Mitchell picking up all the stats. Even TJ Warren, Ben Simmons, Lonzo Ball, like a lot of these guys are guys that are great to have on your team, but they're not big stars that bring in those first team All-NBA, the second team, like all-star nods, all of that kind of stuff. You got a couple guys, but not a lot. And then the last thing I had written was, it's just so funny that Ben Simmons has three positions and it's point guard, small forward, and power forward. Just the subtle comedy of not having shooting guard on his thing by the NBA is just like, okay, we've acknowledged you can't shoot, Ben. We're all on the same page here.
I like that.
I will say for Ben Simmons, like I pulled up the top scores. He was number six in the league last year for non Yahoo points.
Yeah.
So I mean that was a big re-signing. And I was happy that Peter made some guys put some money down. Although I was one of them, you know. But no, I feel like that holding on to him was big. And then Gobert. Gobert was number two in our league last year. Yeah. So, you know, at it, like Gobert was only second to Giannis ahead of Jokic. And then Simmons was 36. So yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you look at his roster, it's not great, but then he's got two of the top six scorers last year.
But he's also in luxury tax, and you're wondering, like, he's got a lot of
good point.
Money, but he also has a ton coming off the books. But, like, is he going to be able to pay Bradley Beal? Is he going to be able to pay, like, do you want to pay Lonzo Ball? Do we know what he's doing? Even a guy like Jonathan Isaac, like, what is Jonathan Isaac? Yeah. We have no idea what he
Who
is.
Who knows? To. Yeah. Is he hurt again right now? I feel like he is. Is that
he did it? What did he do his ACL in the bubble?
I think probably. That's right.
Yeah, after he stood for the Anthony, he might have hurt himself.
Yeah, I think it was ACL on the bubble.
It's funny, like if he was on Boston, I would know. I think, you know, but being in Orlando, it's like I have like, no idea.
The teams I always forget exist is Orlando and Minnesota. I forget they exist all the time.
It's crazy because Isaac is a guy that I've always liked, or like I liked in the draft. I was interested in him, and then he goes to Orlando, and I forget he's in the league.
Well, don't you kind of hope Houston trades Harden to Orlando?
Oh man.
Like just so that great. He would end up somewhere like, here you go, Orlando.
All right. This team is going to let you do whatever you want.
Man.
All right, Jeff, you want to go?
Yeah. So I'm actually going to, I think, head over to your team, Forrest. The Unibros. So let me just take a look at what I like. Again, you were an active. You had five trades, so you matched the Meat Stormers there. Mm-hmm. And you brought in five players that you brought in Barnes, Oubre, Williams. You brought in a third-round pick from this year's draft, and then you brought in McCollum. And we kind of already touched on the Paul George McCollum kind of balance there. Obviously, you get points for being a Blazer guy versus the Paul George Dame Lillard.
There we go. Yeah.
So you get some wins there. I like your draft with Okongwu. I mean, you and I talked about the trade because I wanted to trade up and get him. I think you did well in the draft. I think your Oubre pick, you got Oubre and a third round pick for the number 18 pick. And I think that's a win. I mean, you got Oubre and Jay Scrubb for Sadiq Bey. I think that's a huge win. And I didn't even pull up the cap issues, but you're not in the luxury tax. He's got 1 year left. I think that makes you competitive this year. And maybe Tyler was looking at like more like cap space. But man, I just look at that and I feel like you're going to stash probably, you're going to stash the Jay Scrub, I'm assuming. And so it only costs you $3 million. So I don't know. I felt like that was a win for you. I was kind of confused by that trade, honestly. And then you somehow got rid of the Isaiah Thomas contract, which is amazing. So you brought in Harrison Barnes and Robert Williams for Kelly Olynyk, Isaiah Thomas, and Jeremy. This is actually a three-team trade, and I was part of it. So you got Harrison Barnes, Robert Williams. Tyler got Olynyk, the terrible contract of Isaiah Thomas, and Jeremy Lamb, who's coming off of an ACL and is not healthy. And then I picked up Cantor and a 2021 second from you that actually has a pick swap with Dill. So I feel like I got Cantor for an injured guy and a pick swap and a 2021 second. So I felt like in that deal, I'm not sure what Tyler was doing. I feel like he got just antsy and like wanted to do something and made a trade. But I could be wrong, but looking at those trades, I feel like Tyler came out poor and you came out really well. And I came out okay.
Yeah.
In those trades. Obviously the PG3 for CJ, Paul George could blow up, or like you said, with the load management, it could be one of those things where you're just tired of watching him sit every other game type of deal. And then obviously Vucevic just walked out the door on you. And I feel like those are good numbers that you let him walk out the door. He was an unrestricted free agent, but obviously he left your team. So that hurt a little bit. But I feel like looking at your roster, I feel like you're better. Anthony Davis, I feel like looking at the points from last year, like why didn't he have more points?
Yeah.
He wasn't even in the top 15. He was 13. He was the 13th player, but only 14 like non-Yahoo points. It just seemed like it should have been more.
Yep.
I feel like you have Anthony Davis, the Hassan Whiteside, that could be a good one. But I could also see like Luke Walton just getting tired of him and just playing the Richard Holmes game.
Yep.
Or maybe even Marvin Bagley playing more minutes if he stays healthy. It'll be interesting. Derek Jones. I like the Derek Jones pick or your free agent pickup just for the Blazer fan. But I mean, he could have a great year too. I mean, give you some really decent numbers. Kendrick Nunn, I like that pick, but or free agent acquisition. I wonder about his minutes because again, they brought in some guys, they brought in Avery Bradley. Will he give you great minutes? Your Caris LeVert signing, gave him a great contract, $8 million, $7.5 million, $7 million. It's a depreciating contract. That seems like a very fair contract. Even though his numbers might go down, I think he's going to still have some of those games. You got Bogdanovich. So I feel like you got some really good contracts. Obviously, you have a big one in CJ, a big one in AD. But you got some good stuff there. You got a lot of team options next year, where right now you look like you're going to be in the luxury tax, but you're probably going to extend Davis. So that number will come down, and you probably won't give some of those guys options. Hassan, I could see you falling out of love with Hassan quickly if it goes south. So you have a team option with him. So I like your offseason. I think you're better. I think you stole some things in trades with Tyler. And I think you were in the lottery last year. So I think you're going to be in the top six this year. That's my prediction.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I think Whiteside was – I knew Vooch, like – I was debating between Vooch and Whiteside who I was going to go after. And I felt like Vooch was the safe pick. I did a few I'm not a wizard with Excel, but I tried to kind of do some simulating, and I felt like Whiteside was a gamble that I felt like I could win as far as the contract goes. Wow. Like I'm really on the hook for this year. He potentially could win blocks all three, like in or at both halves, I guess.
Yeah.
Probably not going to be in the playoffs, but you know, if he could win me that category, or you know, help me if between him and Davis, hopefully I can win the category, and then you know, maybe one of those two could win the individual, or you know, rank in the individuals. So
he was the number 12 scorer last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and so he scored more than, you know, that's higher than Davis.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
But you know, he had a real role with the Blazers, and we'll see if he has that on Sacramento.
Yeah.
I don't know with the Philanthropic stuff, and I think I have, this is probably a good segue, 'cause I think I have Philanthropics. Is that right?
I've got Philanthropics.
Oh, you've got Philanthropics. Okay.
Might be good to hit that though. Huh?
Yeah. Well, I'll just, from my perspective, it was like.
Did he approach you about that?
He did. I didn't approach anybody about any trades. So all oh, really? Of mine.
Philanthropics approached somebody about the trade?
Yeah. I mean, I think he knows.
That's so unusual.
I think he knows he has a willing partner in me most of the time. And my perspective is that he's tanking.
A lot of team options next year.
Yeah. Which is, that makes sense. And that worked out for me. I took on Harrison Barnes what's his name? Oubre. Yeah. Oubre was from the Tropics too, right?
Yeah.
So both of those guys, I think, are players that people are kind of sour on generally. But I think they'll have roles on my team. And then, the Okongwu, I picked him because in large part because there was so much interest in him. Like,
might as well.
I didn't have to do a lot of research to know, like, okay, this is probably a valuable acquisition if I pick this guy, because there's a lot of interest in him around the league. I think Josh was upset when I picked him.
Yeah.
Jeff, you approached me about trading for him, and somebody else approached me about picking him too. It may have been Tyler. I can't remember who it was now, but yeah, several people wanted to trade potentially for him. And then the news came out about his injury, and everybody kind of got a little skittish, but
honestly, he's going to be one of those guys that I don't think is going to pan out for you to like year four of his rookie contract. Yeah. Because I mean, you look at Capella's there, you look at Collins is there right now. I feel like they have another center right in Atlanta. It's based on who's on the roster, but I feel like he's a guy that's kind of buried right now, which maybe is great for his development.
Mm-hmm.
But he might not give you numbers for a couple of years. And then I think he could be really good.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's a great kid with a really good work ethic.
Yeah. So it's exciting I always like having the injured first year guy. I like guys that are injured going and like high prospects going into the draft. LeVert is my favorite among those, but
But I feel like a lot of the guys, and one, I mean, I would say first off that offseason in totality would go to you, Forrest, in terms of the things that you'd accomplished in terms of just how you went about it. But in actual how it translates into movement in the rankings, not enough people got worse, I think, that would move you. Mm-hmm. I think you'd still be out of the lottery, but in terms of, you could have gotten two ways this offseason too. You could, by losing like, you know, big minutes from Vucevic, but there's still a little bit of you've got a pretty hard ceiling, I feel like, on this team in a lot of the places, which, I mean, you've got contract flexibility in the future, which is probably the best thing you can have a lot of times, especially in a changing league. But we know who Kelly Oubre is. We know who Caris LeVert is. We know who the only guy we don't really know, obviously, I mean, we don't know Onika, but we don't know what Bogdanovich is going to do this year. He could be an all-star in the East for all we know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we know who Hassan is. We know, we definitely know who Harrison Barnes is. But like, there's not a lot of non-Yahoo points kind of on this team is the only thing that like that I'm seeing. Like, Hassan's not going to bring anything outside of, you know, he's not going to be an all-defensive guy. Caris LeVert obviously isn't, but like, there's some interesting pieces in this team, and I think it's a really solid top to bottom, one of the best top to bottom teams. But in terms of how it plays out in terms of Yahoo points and non-Yahoo points, is kind of, the shift isn't as big as it seems in terms of how good your team is.
Yeah, and I think one thing that,
though, is getting rid of Paul George, just in terms of your soul and your you seem so much happier. I just, you smile so much more now.
It's tough because Paul George has been the Unibros. You know, he's like the original Unibro, but
yeah.
You know, since he came to the West, it's just been a frustrating ride with him. And then, yeah, I think you're right. Like, I don't think I have a chance of winning the league outside of Anthony Davis winning every major award, you know, like if Anthony Davis gets most improved, then it, you know, defensive player of the year, most improved MVP. If he gets all of those, then maybe I'm all right. But,
Maybe your best option would be LeBron gets hurt,
yep.
You know, and then all of a sudden it could be, you know, he could just take off. But like his days of taking a team and just leading it like he did in New Orleans early on are probably over until LeBron's gone.
And even when he was doing that, I wasn't winning, you know.
Yeah.
Did I have Anthony Davis the year that I came in second? I'm trying to remember now.
I don't know.
I can't remember. It was the year the Spurs won, or no, didn't win the title. I would have won the title if the Spurs had won and Gary Neal had given me.
Oh, was that? Those were the early, yeah. Gary Neal reference. That's awesome. He was a big player in our league.
Yeah,
in like 2011.
He mattered. I think the other thing that you were mentioning, like players we don't know, I think Caris LeVert still is a wild card. Just it seems like they might move him, you know, they might have a reason to if they could bring in James Harden.
He's buddies with Kyrie and Kate, yeah. Like he's good friends with those guys, so
yeah,
and if they're running that team,
that could, and you know, that could work out in terms of like a six man too, is what I'm thinking as
he'd
well.
Totally be a Lou Williams type of guy,
yeah, he fits that mold, but I think you're right. Overall, but I've been a really bad Yahoo team for a long time.
Yeah, you were 6-13 last year.
Yeah, really bad. So I, you know, that's something that I needed to shore up, and hopefully I did without giving up too much. I don't think I scored super well in Yahoo either, or non-Yahoo either. So I don't think I gave up too much, but I think you're right. I might not have moved up significantly.
It looks kind of like you're also one of the only teams in the league. You don't have a point guard. CJ McCollum is your only point guard.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
You have to be by far and away the tallest team in the league.
I'm going to get some blocks this year. That's another
thing. Interesting, because you were top six in non-Yahoo. You were number six.
Okay.
But in Yahoo, you were number seven by a large. I mean, and that gap between six and seven was
big.
Like 8 games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, looking at that, like if you are more competitive Yahoo team, like you're pretty close to bumping into that lottery mix or non-lottery mix,
mm-hmm.
and being in the playoffs. And I think you did that. But again, I think if Hassan doesn't hit, then you're probably in that teetering mode again.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, because I think from centers right now, I feel like if Hassan doesn't hit, then I'm pretty weak. Like counting on what Robert Williams or Mitchell Robinson, you know, that's nothing.
Well, I think Hassan's in a 1-1 with the Kings, so like,
yeah.
That's a Hassan contract, like, and the Kings aren't in a playoff position. So like that's kind of his golden situation, you know. A team that wants to play for a pick, just needs a guy to fill the box and play minutes, doesn't actually like translate to wins. Like, if you want a guy that doesn't translate to wins and does a lot for you, you can't ask for anyone besides Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah. All right. I'll go ahead and do, since we've only gotten to two and we've been going for a little while now, I'll go ahead and do Fluffheads and Bowskis.
Okay. Now.
Fluffheads, my interpretation of this is they are the same. They were the same, and then injury to Kemba makes them worse is essentially where I see them. They've got, you know, Kawhi's an all-star, obviously, MVP candidate. He's awesome. But then, like, I was trying to put together a starting five for them, and it was like, with Kemba hurt, it's Fox, not an all-star, great player, but he's not an all-star. Buddy Hield is who I came up with for shooting guard. You know, and then power forward, Jay Crowder, I guess, which was his addition, his big signing this season. And then at center, he's got Nurk and Ayton, and I'm not sure who you'd roll with there. Probably Ayton, I'd guess, but I don't know.
Well, and he can probably, with the new rules, he can roll with.
Can he do Nurk and Ayton instead of Crowder?
Well, he could do both, and then probably put Kawhi at the small forward, is what I'm assuming.
Or maybe the
shooting guard. He might go. I don't know if he can go three centers there because you have to have a small forward.
Does he have a third good center?
Yeah, but you want it. Kawhi is a small forward because that's all
he's got. He's got Thompson, who I'm assuming is going to start for Boston, unless they stay with Theis.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So that makes sense, I guess. That's a strong defensive team, probably. I guess.
And the other guy he's got is Noel, who's going to start for New York. So I mean, he's got all these centers.
He's competing for that tallest team with you, Forrest.
Yeah. He is
the center heavy league.
It's going to come down to Noel versus Robinson.
He does. He's got a ton of centers. Nurkic.
But yeah, I mean, if there was a team that plateaued this or just flatlined this off season, this is the team that literally changed nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Like, I do like his draft pick. I mean, Okoro, I think is going to be, if he can end up being able to shoot the ball, he's going to be a stud.
And it sounds like, there's a decent chance that he'll start in Cleveland. So
yeah,
he's probably a good pick, but you know, I'm not sure what that means for this year. All rookie team, outside shot at rookie of the year, but probably not.
Yeah. He finished fifth last year, the Fluffheads. So again, he didn't make a lot of moves. He's kind of stuck in this perpetual, I mean, you could argue like even like a Portland mode where you're good, but you're not pushing the top.
Yeah.
Well, he's got to deal with Kawhi's contract next year. Obviously, he's got Kemba locked down for a while, but he's got Kemba for cheap for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Kemba long-term future doesn't look particularly well, but he's got to deal with De'Aaron Fox and Kawhi's contract next year. And even Nerlens, I mean, Nerlens isn't obviously that much of a money guy, but like those two guys are probably in his starting rotation. And you got to be like, he probably has the cap room to deal with both of them. But if he loses one of those guys, that team becomes pretty slim pretty quick.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm assuming he's going to veteran extend Kawhi. Yeah. So he's going to have him on a good contract. He doesn't have any big contracts. Nurkic is making 13.5 and down.
Yeah.
He's going to have a lot of money to spend if he wants to. So it'll be interesting what his future holds. But he's definitely
still a total wild card. Like DeAndre Ayton could be really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could. And then he could be, he felt like he could just be like really Billy. Like I watch him and I'm like,
he does disappear at times, which is never a good sign for a center. Like, I mean, you look at guys like Gobert or even like Yusuf Nurkic, like guys that every time they're on the floor, you feel they know they exist.
Yeah.
in terms of defensively. Like he disappears. He stretches a little wide. Like he just does some, but that's also young guy stuff. So
yeah, 100% right. Especially with big guys.
Got a guy like Chris Paul barking in your ear. Some of that stuff might chip away.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one thing that I noticed about his team too, was he's pretty heavily reliant on guys from Sacramento, guys from Phoenix, guys on New York, Cleveland. And then guys, Kawhi in particular, that Kawhi and Kemba really that are going to be load managing.
Yeah.
So
I think that hurts him a lot.
Yeah.
And I think the Jay Crowder signing, like, it's almost like recency bias with him because we saw him with Miami, but I don't feel like he's going to put up great numbers in Phoenix.
Hey, Crowder's another guy. He's one of those, you know, town bicycles, league bicycles, you know. I think I'm pretty sure I drafted Crowder. and he's been around.
Yeah.
He's a Dion Waiters all-star.
Everybody's had him on the roster.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see how it goes for him.
I do like his two late draft picks, Emmanuel Quickly and Teo Maledon. I think both those guys are going to be okay.
Okay.
I don't know if they'll ever be, like, great players, but I think they're going to put up, you know, be able to put up numbers.
Nice.
To fill out the back of your roster.
All right. And then let's see. Who do I got Bowski's next. Okay. Bowski's for me was this is great to see. You know, and kind of touching on to transition from the fluff heads, losing Fournier to add Crowder, you know, I felt like Fournier was their big loss and Crowder was their big gain. So, you know, that tells you a lot about their offseason. But adding Fournier, Van Vliet, Vucevic, Brandon Ingram for sure.
Which was a match.
Right.
It wasn't a match. It was a
bird rights. Yeah. So extend. Yeah. So having Brandon Ingram and then adding those other guys and then draft wise, you know, I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to these guys, but I've heard Peyton Pritchard's name come up fairly regularly. He lost Jeremy Grant, Joe Ingles, who feels like he's kind of at the end of his fantasy relevancy.
Better NBA player than a fantasy player.
Yeah.
Joe Ingles.
Yeah, for sure. But even as far as NBA player, I feel like he's, you know, last year I felt like, I don't feel like he matters as much.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong there, but I just didn't feel his impact the way I had in the past. Kyle Anderson, you know, good NBA player maybe, but nothing really. And then Evan Turner's a coach now, so that's not really a loss. So really I feel like they had a great offseason, you know, no lottery pick and still came out of the offseason I feel like significantly better than they were at the beginning.
When everything's trending up for this team, like you see like their draft last year, I mean, Bol Bol still, we don't know what he's going to do, but he's getting minutes, which is big. But, like, Zion, Hachimura, and Brandon Clark, like, all three of those guys are going to be long-term starters for their teams. Like, really looked terrific. He looks just exactly what's going to keep Washington in a good position. But, like, even, like, Bam is, he's an all-star. He just got locked into a big contract for a long time with Miami. Mo Bamba, that's still kind of TBD. Yeah. But Brandon Ingram, another guy that just got a lot of money. Like, they think he's going to be good. The Pelicans have the potential to be good. Unfortunately, the West is as deep as it is. We don't know where a few of the – like, obviously, OKC is going to drop off. The Rockets could drop off in a lot of ways, but – like it's hard because like the top of his roster isn't great, but what's coming in years to come looks really, really good.
Yeah.
And he's got the terrible Oladipo. I mean, Oladipo is going to put up good numbers if he stays healthy, but I mean, he's almost making 30 million. But
yeah, that's a lot.
He's got all these other guys on really good contracts. Vucevic is making 8 million. Ingram's making 14 million. And then after that, it's Van Vliet's like 10, 10 and a half. So he doesn't have these huge contracts. So it'll be interesting what he does in the years to come with cap space or just with that stuff. Because like next year, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4. He's got 10 guys that either have team options or are coming off of their contracts. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is the top end talent on his roster is, I mean, aside from Zion, but a lot of it is in the East, and
that can be helpful.
You know, that makes all of them kind of wild card, all-star, definitely going to get a little bit more attention, which could result in all NBA nods and things that maybe they wouldn't get if they were in the West. So
no, it's a huge point.
There's a lot of Orlando on his team.
He's got a lot of big question marks on his team, though. Like Mo Bamba, Zach Collins, Markel Fultz, and Zion Williamson are complete, like, could push you into an amazing position or could be on IR or useless basically the rest of the year.
He's got a lot of question marks, and he's got the, like, biggest comma in the league as far as, like, if we're talking punctuation, like, Nikola Vucevic is like the most bland but like essential player in the league. Like
Yahoo superstar.
He's perfect. He's fine. He's not gonna be, well, he might be an all-star, I guess. I don't know.
Draft and go. Ugh,
he's doing the same. He's doing the same thing.
I feel bad for his league pass viewing. He's gonna watch so many Orlando games.
Yeah, oh, that's a boring. That's a boring.
Super boring. Yeah, so that's two from me.
I think my last one was Tetra versus Box. Yeah. The junior team is what I call it now. Yeah. Where am I? Did I look at the wrong team? One sec. Yeah, there. No, I had the. Did we already talk about the? No, I had the Flint Tropics and Tetraverse Box. Okay, that's why. I had the Flint Tropics, which I called the junior team because they've got Dennis Smith Jr., Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, it's all that. Well, and the other great thing is Kevin Knox is now a second, so you can include him in that group. Kevin Knox is second.
Yeah, Kevin. Well, and the reason I was also thinking, I was like, this is a young looking team. Like, his old guys are basically useless. Isaiah Thomas and Kelly Olynyk and Jeremy Lamb are his oldest guys, and they're all nothing, like basically moot points in a lot of way. But this whole team is based around Devin Booker. Like Justin Winslow, we still don't know what he, like he was kind of not what people expected him to be. Mm-hmm. He did pick up Malcolm Brogdon, which is pretty useful. I mean, I like Malcolm Brogdon. I think he's going to do pretty well moving forward. I think he's a good player. But he did a ton this offseason in terms of trading, which we expected. No, I don't get more. I get a trade offer every week, I feel like. I'm the Flint But, like, so I had probably the biggest trade with him this offseason in terms of trading Kevin Knox for Kyrie Irving and doing a pick swap. I think it was I traded the second overall pick for the seventh, which worked out perfect for me because we were going to take Killian Hayes at number two. And our management team was basically saying, you know, not a lot of people like Killian Hayes the way we do. We think that's for a value thing. If he drops to seven, great. We've got, or if he doesn't, we've got three or four other guys we're really comfortable with. Not to knock on this draft too much, but it's a pretty, it's a magic eight ball of a draft, you know. We don't know if any of these guys will be all-stars. Yeah. It could be half of these guys are all-stars. You put some guys, and we didn't like, we liked Kevin Knox when we drafted him. We haven't liked him a day since. He just doesn't.
I thought that was a great, great move to move back and get him, especially if you liked him. You know, if you're on the Ringer and you're Kevin O'Connor, like he loved
him. Kevin O'Connor fan.
Yeah. And so, like, no, that was a great move, and I think you like Kevin Knox, his first summer league game. He went like bananas his first summer league game too.
Well, being on the Knicks, he might be like one of those guys that you just kind of, you're like, here's the ball, go nuts, have fun. But they're like, no, we need to get Julius Randle. We need to get a power forward. We have to have as many power forwards as possible.
They went power forward nuts last offseason. That's for sure. No, that was, I think, a really good trade. And then obviously you're going to have some rights with Kyrie. And, you know, if you don't, then he comes off your books next year and it's not a big deal.
But I loved his draft. I thought his draft was arguably the best draft in terms of, I think Bay is going to be solid. Weissman is still, we're not sure how well he could be really good. But I like Bay and I like RJ Hampton a lot. I think those two guys are going to be long-term great value picks for both, like at 18 and 25 for both those guys. That's a solid, solid, solid value that I think, I mean, getting three picks in a draft and having them all pan out. I mean, it happened last year with the whoever we were just talking about.
Mostly.
And I was just like, you know, this could pan out really, really well for him. But again, a lot of movement. How does it result in long term? There's a lot of room for growth. I mean, he's in the same position I'm in a lot of ways. Like, there's a lot of room for growth.
Yeah, he's got a lot of money coming off next year.
He does.
So the way that I see his roster is like it's a placeholder.
Yeah.
They're in asset acquisition mode. They're the Oklahoma City of the league right now. Like collecting scraps.
Jaylen Brown was also a big kind of like, that's a lot of money to give someone who I think is really, really good, but yeah,
that's a big contract.
Still playing second fiddle to Jason. So
yeah. And if you, when you're thinking in terms of like, I don't know, as far as like non-Yahoo evaluation, it's, you know, is he's not a surefire all-star, I don't feel like.
But he is in the East. That helps. So Boston's winning.
If Boston's in the top, but Boston has to be in the top three, what would you say?
They'd have to be the number one team in order for both of them to get all-stars, I would think. But also it's like I think the adage that, they're in the East, I think that's melted away significantly in the last 3 years.
Especially at those positions with
– Well, you add guys like Durant. I mean, obviously Jimmy Butler, but like you add Durant and Kyrie who could both have great years. You've got Russell Westbrook in the East now. Yeah. You've got guys kind of popping up. Obviously, if the Bucks are
James
still
Harden anytime now,
you have to give two all-star spots to that team. The Heat are looking better and better and are getting more attention. Mm-hmm. Like the East is solid. Obviously, that 6-7-8 area in the East is kind of meh, but you still have like the Raptors are still going to be really good. The Bucks are like, there's lots of teams with lots of depth that kind of push teams like guys like Jaylen Brown a couple notches down because there's so many teams in those top six spots that have guys, especially at that small forward shooting guard position, that can really not really allow him to get any accolades that give him points out of Yahoo.
Yeah.
So looking at Tyler, if you think he's trying to kind of play the long game here.
Absolutely.
But can he? Like, can he not tinker to the point of losing the long game? You know what I'm saying? Because you're looking at his roster and it's like, okay, I get it. Like he's building, he's got LaVine, Booker, Brown. And then he's got these young guys like Hunter, Jackson Jr., Wiseman. Can he hold on to that core or is he going to tinker and then go into kind of middle ground? Like, I don't know.
He'll have money. That's the thing though. He'll have money. And based on how bird rights start playing out and how the league kind of adjusts, if we add two new teams next year, what does that look like in terms of wealth distribution and the amount of money guys can start throwing? Like, I don't think I set a precedent by any means by throwing a ton at Pascal because the team had, they already had the best starting five and he wasn't even in it. But in terms of being able to have to pay guys.
Yeah.
Those teams and that parity is going to shift more and more, and he'll be in a position, say a guy kind of pops up that maybe they can't pay, like Luka or someone, and you're going to be like, well, I can't afford him. And what kind of position are you in kind of moving forward? And you get a guy like that, that swings your whole team around, especially if you already have Devin Booker on your team, who's going to be an all-star kind of guy in his future.
Yeah. Like I said, my biggest deal with Tyler is can he settle and not tinker and ruin the trade guys that are going to be there.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Well, I think the idea is what happens when he tinkers to the point where he's like, oh, I've got something. Because it's kind of like that moment when you're solving a Rubik's Cube. You're just like flipping things around. You're like, okay, we figured it out. And now we can start moving. I think being kind of in that bottom part of the league, you can do that. You have that flexibility to be like, all right, you know, I'm just going to throw this around. You know, there's no stakes. You don't have a lot to lose. Obviously, he's not throwing Devin Booker around. But everything else is for a fire sale. And that could be really beneficial.
Yeah.
But at that moment, he realizes, oh, I've got two or three guys and I've got cap room. Then that becomes a dangerous position to be in.
As long as he holds on to those two or three guys, you know, because he's had Giannis, he had Luka, right?
I think he had Tatum. So yeah, he's had some guys.
Yeah, and the other thing that I was just noticing with him is he doesn't have a first or second next year.
Yeah,
which that kind of blows my mind, honestly. I thought he was tanking for this coming draft. So yeah, that's
well, and Kyrie's burning sage smells great over here, so
sweet grass.
All right,
so you want me to jump up with my last two?
Yeah, just go ahead.
Yeah, so I have the Peter's winners and then Sean Kemp's kids. So I'll start with Peter. I really liked his offseason. He signed he signed two guys to offer sheets and lost out on both, Ben Simmons and DeJounte Murray. And I own Murray, and he didn't make me overpay for him, but he made me pay more than I wanted to for him. Cause I think Murray does a lot that, shows up in the Yahoo game. And also the team game, the team, not non Yahoo game. And then obviously we talked about Simmons being a top six player last year. So he made LeBron's fadeaway hairline pay for that. I really like in the draft, he traded. I wanted to pull up this trade here. I didn't have it on my thing, but he traded back one. So he had the top, let's see here. He had the number three pick, and he moved back one and got the 15th pick. So he traded 3 and 26 for 4 and 15. And then with that, he got Patrick Williams and Puskovetsky. How do you pronounce his name? Puskovetsky. It was an Oklahoma City guy, right? He's that guy that's like 7 feet, looks like a middle school student. but if you watch his preseason game, he's putting up really good numbers. He's shooting the ball well from three, and he's putting up double-digit rebounds. And it's like, okay, this kid just looks goofy, but he's putting up minutes. And in Oklahoma City, he might get minutes. So I felt like that trading down one. And I, looking at Patrick Williams, I feel like he can be a Kawhi Leonard type of kid as a ceiling. But I also feel like he could be Noah Vonleh. But I feel like in this draft, like I feel like when you draft, you have to like – draft for those all-stars, especially when you're picking that early. Mm-hmm. And I thought that he did that. I don't love the early part of the draft. I don't love Ball. I think Ball will be okay. I don't love Edwards. I feel like Edwards could be like Bennett. He could be out of the league in a few years, kind of that Deion Waiters type of guy. Mm-hmm. Wiseman, I'm still unsure about. I mean, we've seen three college games. But anyways, I like that he moved down and did that. I thought that was a good offseason. Like I said, he made guys pay. And then, let's see here. The John Wall contract. So he actually was on his team last year. He renounced the rights but then re-signed them for a smaller amount. And John Wall could hit for a couple of years and give him some good value there for the amount he paid.
Yep.
He's still got cap space. As far as his roster goes, it's, I think long-term it's kind of meh, but he's got Carl Anthony Towns. So I think he's got some good stuff there as far as building for the future with cap space. I think he was smart in his off season. He didn't like break the bank for anybody. He inherited two really bad contracts when he took over the franchise. So he's got Otto Porter making over $10 million. He's got Aaron Gordon making over $13 million.
That's what I was thinking. Like, this is a team full of disappointing money.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they're still, I think they're going to be fine. Any team with Carl Anthony Towns can be really, has a lot of potential just because he is a stat stuffer. He's a great Yahoo guy. Yeah. But when you're paying Otto Porter or like guys, I mean, all of these guys are not anywhere near their ceilings. Otto Porter Jr., nowhere near his ceiling. Aaron Gordon, Terry Rozier, even like coming off of last year, everyone's like, dude, this guy is great, but like he's not doing much. And even guys like Luke Kennard and Kyle Kuzma and Marvin Bagley, like guys that when they first start in the league and you're like a fan of that franchise, you're like, this guy could be legit. And then not so much. They just, they're not showing you a lot. They're making really bad diss tracks. They're just not as good as like you think they're going to be.
Yeah. And so I think he's kind of playing the waiting game, like knowing Carl Anthony Towns is going to be, I mean, for his career is going to put up great numbers.
Yeah.
So he's invested in him and everybody else. He's kind of has two really good contracts and he can get out of. And so I feel like he's kind of playing that waiting game. He's still $19 million under the cap. So I think he's going to be able to play the long-term game where Tyler's going to get itchy and boot out of it. You know, he's going to punt. And then, you know, so I think Peter's going to be one of those guys in 5 years where it'll be like, how did this guy get this roster? And, you know, he's going to be sitting with all these really good players. At least that's my take.
The Flint Tropics will have half of this roster.
Yeah. They would have passed through. And then Sean Kemp's kids, you know, everybody, the player everybody loves to hate. You know, he drafts Ball and Edwards, and I kind of like I already talked a little bit about that. Mm. What I liked, he unloaded the contracts of Wiggins and Randall. He got Clay for a year. I'm assuming he's probably gonna not keep Clay, and that's going to open up $23 million in his contract. Yep. He has him for a year. He signed Tobias Harris to a really reasonable contract. I love the Christian Wood contract. I mean, that could really hit. It couldn't, and it's still not a bad contract. And he also took a second round pick from the Meat Stormers in 22, which could be really grand, really good, especially if it's that like super draft. What I wasn't really a fan of, the Devontae Graham signing, it wasn't huge, but I feel like Devontae Graham was a guy that got a lot of numbers based upon volume. And in Charlotte this year, I feel like that volume with Ball and Hayward is going to be less. I think he still put up okay numbers, but not great. Dylan Brooks walked away. I think Dylan Brooks is a good stat stuffer for Yahoo. And like I said, I didn't love the fact that he traded up to get Edwards and gave up the 15th pick in the process, where I feel like he maybe would have got a better pick at 4 if he had stayed there. And then, like I said, I just don't love Ball and Edwards. I maybe this has to do more with the draft and just he picked high, but I feel like this draft has a lot of like middle of the road players and not a lot of all stars. And so the fact that he had two of the top three picks and came away with Ball and Edwards just doesn't do a lot for me.
I thought it was an interesting year to gamble. Like, I mean, I guess it's not much of a gamble because he had the first pick, but like thinking of a year you could have stockpiled for the future relatively. I mean, I don't know what the market was for the number one pick in this draft. But I mean, the market for the number two pick was pretty open. So I can imagine some guys were looking at guys like Anthony Edwards or LaMelo Ball. Those guys have really, really high ceilings, but they also have really low floors. Like, Anthony Edwards doesn't even like playing basketball, and LaMelo Ball is just, like, he could be a highlight reel, but not actually translate to any wins. I mean, he looks pretty good in preseason, but, you know, we saw how his brother turned out. And we saw how both of his brothers turned out, but that also doesn't mean that they're anything like the player he is. So
we'll
see kind of what it's a gamble. It's a big gamble, but for a guy who has only three players over the 2 year mark, like he has that ability and availability to see, oh, well, let's see how these guys pan out. And even then in the future, they could still be valuable and they may not be non-Yahoo guys, but he's going to have a high pick in the future. So,
yeah. I think you're right there. I would have liked to have seen him maybe be able to pull up some assets in drafting and like backing down in the draft versus giving away assets and moving up in this draft. Yeah. But you're right. He's got some, I mean, next year he's got
two firsts.
Hakeem Ford, and you know, none of us have a magic ball, so like that could have been an insane move. He could have got Luka and Giannis of this draft, like, or like Trey and Luka. Like, we don't know how this is going to pan out. Like, Anthony Edwards looks really good, which we expected. He's a freak athlete, but how does that translate into basketball? Is he going to be Thomas Robinson or is he going to be LeBron James?
It's so interesting with some of these picks. Like, I feel like if a player goes to Minnesota or if they go to Sacramento or they go to New York, they might be great players, but I still don't love it. Like, where if they go to, like, you look at Luka going to Dallas, you're like, oh, okay. He's part of a winning culture organization.
Yep.
I feel like that has a lot to do with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even with Trey going to Atlanta, like, that's a franchise that's been decent for a long time.
Yeah.
Then having Pierce as their head coach, I think they started. I mean, I think their GM's from Golden State too. Like, he came over from Golden. So I feel like they were changing into something that was positive and a winning culture.
Yeah, you feel like there's a direction and a culture there, whereas like a Sacramento, that's not a place with a culture and a direction. Yeah. It's a place trying to find those things.
Yeah.
Well, Charlotte. Yeah, Charlotte's having that problem. Like, Charlotte is what is Michael Jordan doing? What is and even like, especially Minnesota is the epitome of this. Of like, what is going on there? Like, you've got two guys that have shown to be proven all stars, and then they have great highlight reels. They put up stats, and they don't even make the playoffs. You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, and you basically ran out of town the guy that probably could have taken you as close to the finals as you.
Well, and I think that's the biggest key of like, oh, they don't have a winning culture. When a winning player comes and they butt heads, that proves it. They're more, hey, we want to like each other. We want to all be a family. And then you get a guy like Jimmy Butler in there. It's like, no, I want to win. They're like, Whoa, let's not get carried away here. That's an indicator.
Mm-hmm. Let's not play defense. Like,
that's... I think for LaMelo Ball, it feels a little Ricky Rubio-ish to me. Ricky Rubio's a good player, but, you know, is that who you want to be picking first? I don't know. But he does have two firsts next year, which is probably going to be really great for him. So, you know, he can punt this year.
Next year's draft looks a little bit better than this year's, but it's early.
Yeah.
And then the other first he does have is from Tyler, who's looking like he's going to be a bottom half player. So,
those are both going to be good picks.
Yeah.
All right. I've got the Tony Bros.
Left. Go hard on this guy.
Many congratulations from and thanks from the entire league for taking Pascal, basically.
We
all appreciated that. Kyrie was a nice pickup, really good, it looks like, so far, and it doesn't hurt you much if it doesn't work out. Killian Hayes, I know, was your guy, and that seems like that's a win. In terms of things you gave up, Wiseman, you know, I like I like that he's going to Golden State. You know, I feel like that's probably the best case scenario for him in a lot of ways, like especially in terms of teams that we're picking there. So that could turn out to be a regret, but you know, Killian Hayes was your guy. So that's, I think you have to go with that anyway. And Avery Bradley's, Chris Dunn, Kevin Knox, Greg Monroe, that's all nothing. So definitely added a lot of talent. I love the THT pick because of recency. And those are some of my favorite things in this league is we have a different type of waiver wire.
You got money to gamble. You got to put some on the table.
Yeah. No, I think it's fun. That's a fun one, you know, and I think, I don't know if anybody who has Caruso in the league, but you know, I think that would be, that's a fun, I mean, he's on the Lakers, so that's not necessarily fun, but yeah. Those are fun guys to watch and root for always.
And well, and my management partner is a, he's a LeBron fan, whatever that means. So he's just rooting for the Lakers. So he's watching the Lakers and he's telling me, hey, can we get this guy? And I'm going, I don't want to have to watch the Laker highlights. He's like, don't worry, just get him.
Yeah,
that's he's a long term play.
That's a huge part. Like Montrezl Harrell goes to the Lakers, and I'm like, oh shit! Like,
yeah,
I'm not gonna watch any of his. I could stand the Clippers, but I'm not gonna watch the Laker games. Like, yeah. I'll just look at the box score.
Yeah.
Luckily for me, with Anthony Davis, I've never liked watching him anyway because he's always flying into the backboard and injuring his back and all that nonsense. So it's fine. But yeah, no. Yeah, you have to root for a Laker, but whatever.
Hey, Brett, what do you think of Lonnie Walker?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Lonnie's still like, we're seeing what he's going to do. Obviously, being on San Antonio, you think good things going forward. He's only costing us $2.5 million, and he wasn't like, he was our 16th pick, so yeah,
no.
He was kind of like a guy we liked. We liked him in college, so we're thinking, all right, we'll see how he pans out. You know, he's going to San Antonio. That's a good situation for a guy like him. He's shown a lot of potential, but then you have a lot of guys that they like to put in that shooting guard position that take up a lot of minutes, mm-hmm. and no one on the Spurs is necessarily a Yahoo guy ever. Yeah. Like, well, Marcus is just by his situation, but you know, they weren't a playoff team there for the first time in a long time.
I don't think they are this year either.
No, I mean, yeah, you never know what with them just in terms of being focused and having the culture and the foundation.
Sure.
And you never know what teams, Rockets, could totally disappear this year for whatever reason. But, yeah, I mean, he's not obviously, like, a linchpin. He's not a keystone in the franchise. We like Lonnie. We like his potential. But we got guys that are producing a lot more value, the Michael Porter Jr.
Sure.
We even saw a couple highlights from KZ in the summer league in UA, like, Both of those guys.
Casey's getting run.
Those guys are getting runs. Those guys are getting points. And in the same way Lonnie is right now. So, you know, it's kind of like picking the best of the litter and kind of like we let Civi walk last year and we're like, yeah, he didn't really get what we wanted from him, but now he's looking pretty decent in Detroit. So, you know, you live with those things. None of these guys necessarily have the ceiling we want. But for the value we get with them kind of in that 16, 15 mid-range of the draft, they look pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think – let me see if I have any other notes on – yeah, I guess my note was, like, you've got really great guards. Bigs-wise, you've got Siakam. And then you've got
Jared Allen. Got the throw. What more do you need?
I love Jared. I know I approached you, Brett, a couple years ago about a Jared Allen trade. I've always loved him. I hate the fact that he is now probably going to come off the bench for DeAndre.
Awful. Yeah, but I also think he's going to get starter minutes. Yeah. It's one of those things that Steve – I think Steve Nash in his first year of coaching is going to start realizing and getting pressure from assistant coaches and people being like – yeah, DeAndre Jordan, he's a great guy. We love him. He's you know, he's great for the culture, but like this kid's really good on defense.
I was gonna say he bends his knees on defense.
Yeah, we'll start DeAndre. We'll give him 5-10 minutes. We'll put in Jared Allen he'll still get the 28 minutes a game and probably be in at the end of games because it's like he can catch lobs, he gets block shots, he has great efficiency around the rim.
Yeah,
we love Jared Allen. He's been a linchpin in our franchise from the beginning. So yeah, a guy like him and knowing that the market for centers, especially in this league, becomes more and more oversaturated every year, mm-hmm. and kind of seeing how guys play out instead of taking on that contract and waiting and seeing if they play out, because most of the time centers don't show a lot in their first couple of years, and guys like Rudy Gobert, and you know, not everybody's Anthony Davis right out the gate. No. So kind of seeing how guys play and also knowing that like guards are more valuable. They're just more valuable in this league.
No, I've always loved Jared Allen, and I hate to see him have to like play almost a backup role to DeAndre Jordan, because I feel like he does so many things really well.
Brett, did we miss one team with?
I got reverse box.
Oh yeah.
That's reverse box. Yeah.
Not a lot there, but do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I've got a few things on them. First of all, like they've got a ton of all-stars.
They do.
I was looking at this team. I was like, yeah, they didn't get the things they probably wanted. Obviously Derek Favors has made his rounds in the league. Jeremy Grant, I think, is a great pickup. He's a guy kind of like that Bogdan kind of position. You know, he could jump to a new team and that could elevate his game and he could be great, especially going to the Eastern Conference. Like a guy moving like that onto a team that doesn't really know what they are yet and could be a huge, in terms of per dollar, like points, like a big, big, big bump. Draft, Vassell, whatever. That's kind of a push. You don't know what he's going to do. He cut a lot of fat, you know, Harkless, Ferguson, McKinney. Like, none of those guys are really doing that much. Mm-hmm. Van Fleet was a pretty solid player in a lot of ways. I think he's kind of a good a bad loss.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a couple of these guys could really take a big leap. More importantly, Jason Tatum and Lauri Markkanen. Both of those guys could take substantial leaps for how much he's paying right now, but also could make him pay a lot. Both of those guys are on contract years and could be expensive next year. Jason Tatum could be a huge get going forward. But he's also got a lot of what are these? We know what these guys are. Valanciunas and Barton. We know what those guys are. He has a really good top of his team. Embiid, really good. He's got, I mean, his all-stars are good all-stars to have besides Middleton. Middleton's kind of wait and see, but, and Draymond Green obviously had a down year, but could come back, could be really good, could also be 10 pounds overweight. Who knows?
Yeah.
I think one of the things is that this team really epitomizes is that question of when does the league shift in. Is his team going to be one of those teams that kind of falls off, or like which one of those top teams is going to be the Spurs, and which one of these teams is going to be, you know, like the Atlanta Hawks, where you've got a bunch of good guys and then the next year you can't afford all of them and then you just have to reset? Which team is going to be that first team to reset and let go of guys and be like, we can't pay these guys, we're going to have to reset? He's got a lot of those guys, I mean, in that position where it's like he's got four guys coming up that are all solid. Draymond Green is good. Could still be really good, but he's got Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, and Lauri Markkanen all having paydays coming up. Which one do you pick? I mean,
Chris
obviously
Middleton just coming off.
Be the guy you want to drop off, but he could be great on the Bulls next year. He's still, we don't know yet.
Yep. And and Middleton, I mean, he's not, as far as all-stars go, he's nothing spectacular, but he's coming off as well, and you don't, he doesn't have rights for him. Yeah, that's a lot of talent that in the future is coming off, but for this year, it's a pretty scary team.
Well, you got to find some of those coattail guys too. Like in this league with a lot of points coming off of Yahoo, like coming off of playoffs, coming off championships, things like that. Coattail guys, like he's probably the best coattail guy in the league, because he's getting an all-star because of another guy. Mm-hmm. He's getting, you know, playoff points by just proximity. Like a guy like that is really valuable in a lot of ways, even if he's not necessarily a fun guy to watch.
Do you think if Milwaukee's not the number one team in the East, and but they're like two or three, is it Drew or Middleton that gets the all-star nod, do you think?
You could even put Jaylen Brown in that conversation.
Right, but I mean, as far as like Milwaukee goes.
Do they get two all-stars and is it Drew over Middleton? There could be that recency bias, and also the – who votes on it, the coaches? No, it's a combo, isn't it? Players, fans.
Players, coaches, and fans.
But I could almost see like people being like, Drew's never been an all-star. Was he an all-star in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Well, okay. But I'm almost that feeling like this guy has deserved to be an all-star and mm-hmm. getting it over Middleton.
Yep.
And I feel like there's a little bit of an anti-Middleton faction out there. Yep.
The momentum.
Not the real number two.
Yeah, the dial. They're probably both like Drew's maybe a little bit overrated and Middleton's a little bit underrated.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think that's correct.
But things like Drew's an outstanding defender. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't always translate into all-star votes. Like no. Chris Middleton can still like, he'll have a 45-point game out of nowhere and be like, whoa, like, look at this guy. He hit six threes. Like, Drew's not going to do that very often. He doesn't have that. He's just, like, he's steadfast and reliable. I mean, in some ways, he's also injury-prone, which could play into a lot of things as well.
Yeah.
And looking at touch reverse box, man, they're already in the cap. And then next year, I mean, obviously you're putting in their cap space, but they're $187 million next year. Right. So it'll be interesting to see what he does, you know, with Middleton, with Draymond Green. He's got Tatum, Mitchell, Markkanen, Middleton, and Draymond all up next year. I mean, it'll be like you said, Brett, like, where does he go with the parity? Does he go to, you know, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
He's definitely got a scary roster this year, though. He's got a lot of all-stars.
Yeah, I think he's going to be good this year.
Yeah.
I have him as my number two team this year. So
That's kind of where I was thinking, too.
Get deep.
That's the ostensible reason for doing the clinic.